You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're proud to welcome back friend of the show, Jan Birch. You know him as the Stairmaster from The People Under the Stairs. We're talking to Jan about his career and about his upcoming projects. Plenty of stuff coming out. Sky Sharks looks phenomenal. Like a very good time. But anyways, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. You can interact with our guests, interact with us, do what you gotta do. Also, head over to thedorkening.com for all of the other shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network. We put a lot of effort into this stuff. We have other shows like The Secret Underground Hideout, which is a phenomenal show. And also head over to deadlygroundscoffee.com and support our sponsors. Get yourself some amazing coffee. We do. We spend a ton of money on it, and it's worth it. But first, enjoy the show. Okay, here we are. With us, we have Kevin.
I'll stop complaining. Let's continue the show. How you doing, everybody?
Well, Fee.
I'm not complaining, but oh, everybody.
Tony has nine fingers.
What is going on, people?
And Jan Birch.
Hello. Very happy to be on again, and looking forward to a little chat we're going to have here.
Yeah, definitely. We're more than happy to have you back. You've had a very interesting last couple of weeks, right? You just had celebrated the birthday, and
yes, I did. Yeah,
and also there was a other big announcement you had.
Yes, I am now a U.S. citizen.
That's awesome.
I'm one of you guys now, so you know, blame me.
Yeah, well we apologize in advance. We didn't sign up for all this either, but I'm sorry. No, but well, congratulations. How long have you been on this trek? Like, how long have you been trying to, you know, working on it?
I haven't worked on it for as long as I've been here, but I mean, I've been here for 30 years. I've been a resident alien with a green card for 25 years. I started thinking about this about 5 years ago and started some process. And like I told these guys earlier, we did some pre-chat. It's a process, and it's a weird thing. They treat different class, you know, different people from different areas of the world in a different way. Like, I know some Hispanics that have a 20-year period or 15 years to do it, and Europeans usually faster. But you know, I had to go through the thing, and the thing is, like I told these guys before, I came in as an entertainer. You know, I had to prove that I was like more or less a celebrity when I came over here, so they had to go through all those paperwork again. And then, you know, they have the two big things here. You have to have good moral character, and you can never, ever have touched a single drug in your entire life. That's rejection. So, you know, knowing that I'm good on both those, you know, it took a little while.
Yeah. But I've never had to go through the process, but I think it's kind of messed up that they make other people go through a longer waiting period. It should be the same across the board.
It is very different. No, I'm very happy. I'm very happy that I did it. I didn't pull the trigger for a while because Sweden didn't have dual citizenship, and now America accepts that it's between you and your country. So obviously, you know, being one of the only two neutral countries in the world, if shit hits the fan, I like to have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
So I would like to keep that passport. You know, and I think it wasn't allowed until 2011. Sweden said, "Hey, you can have dual citizenship without giving up your birthright." So that's another reason I waited a little bit, because, you know, it's good to have somewhere to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Neutral zone.
Especially Sweden.
Yeah. I mean, from the pictures I've seen, I would be there more often than not. But that's just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love Sweden, but I also, you know, I love America, and I've been here for such a long time, and I owe it so much. You know, I have a lot of smiles to thank for this country and experiences and learning periods, and basically more than half my life. I've been here longer than I lived in Sweden.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was born in Sweden, but I've been here longer.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, it's my country. And I want to be part of my country, too. I want to be able to say no if it deserves a no. I want to say yes when it deserves a yes. I just don't want to do it on social media. I actually want to go to the polls and I want to have a voice.
Right. That's awesome. So, well, congrats. Yeah. That's huge. Awesome. Congrats. That's great. So you've been a busy guy for a little bit. You have a lot of projects in the works. Yeah. You have a lot of projects in the works. You have a lot of stuff you have a few things that are being released. Death House is being released like a little bit wider in theaters. And I see that you have Dawn of Five Evils in pre-production. Has anything started with that at all? Or is that just all hearsay?
No, not yet. They're still waiting a little bit on the box office, I think. But it's definitely a huge following. You know, they got 94% approval rate on Rotten Tomatoes, which is unheard of for an independent. People like it. I mean, it's a different kind of movie.
Yeah.
I'm like I told Wolfman earlier. I'm really looking forward to the prequel, which is the sequel, which is Dawn of Five Evils, because it focuses on the doctors like my area. You know, mm-hmm. the first one, which was actually the sequel to the prequel that I'm doing next, was more focusing on the end. You know, the end result, what's happening in the end. Now we're going back to the beginning, which is when they started all this, and I'm being told quite a lot of exciting things about my character, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you know we've thankfully to Harrison and everyone involved, we've had some opportunity to see the movie. We've seen it a couple times, and I know that there's probably a different edit that's out there now, because I think there was some stuff they had to pull out for like regular theatrical. But I really enjoy the movie. It is different. I mean, that was the thing I was concerned about. I'm glad that it's getting like a really good rating on Rotten Tomatoes, mm-hmm. Because I was like, I don't know if like the typical just like throw something in and watch a quick horror movie is gonna love this movie or not. I really like it. It's
I had
different.
The same kind of feelings a little bit on the movie. I do know production, so that's another thing that really helped me when I watched this, because I know how expensive it is to put all that grain in the end. So I'm like, you know, they spent a lot of time in post, and their look is gorgeous. The actual message is a little complicated, and deeper than people think. And like, I get your point. Some horror fans might just want to go and see what's on the screen, and they don't go deeper than that. And if they might not get it,
right.
At least not the first time we see it, maybe the second time or the third time. But that's another reason I'm really looking forward to see what they're going to do with the prequel, because that will be more of an explanation. So you see, Death House, you basically read the last quarter of the book, but you have no idea how the book started and how this was happening. So you might be a little confused about the ending without seeing the beginning.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's another thing. I'm glad that it's doing well, because I want to see this continue. I know Harrison has plans for
It's six of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I mean, but I'm looking forward to starting from the beginning to try to piece out and explain more. People will get it more. Like basically, I think after the first three maybe comes out, people go back to watch Death House again, and now I understand.
It'll click. Yeah,
this is happening. You know.
Yeah.
Be one of those movies.
Yeah, Wolfie, you were starting to say something. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh no, I was agreeing with you. It's like that was the thing I was worried about too. Is that people wasn't gonna click with them. But you know, you covered that for me. So let me ask you about another movie you're making, Waking Nightmare.
Waking Nightmare was a blast and a lot of fun. And I'm hoping it's coming out this year. I haven't heard any dates particularly, but it's Diane Franklin. And then she plays the mother of this woman who's played by one of the leads in Pitch Perfect 1, 2, and 3. Her name escapes me for a second here, but she's actually dreaming that she's murdering people, and she thinks it's a dream, but she's sleepwalking and actually doing the acts. So it's that twist of the story. And then I'm the neighbor who, when you see the movie, I'm not going to give too much away, but I'm basically the guy that should be the murderer. Like, you know, I'm the bad guy in the, on the neighborhood. I'm a PTSD after a, like two tours in Iraq, and I drink a lot. I do a lot of drugs, and I it was so much fun to play because the director, Brian Farmer, basically sat me in a room full of empty or half empty bottles and a lot of like pretend to be pill bottles. And he said, sit down here, look what you have around you and act and like, you know, create yourself. And I want to give you free rein. Let's just try this for an hour. So before we even brought the script out or lines, he just tried it for an hour with me trying to be in the character, just seeing the surroundings. And I think when we finally threw the lines in, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That sounds great. Yeah.
The fact that he's got that, that kind of that kind of like freedom with the character as well. That's yeah. Interesting. You don't really hear that very much. At least I don't hear.
No.
It.
And then I of course I end up walking down the hallways in the darkness and scaring people. But you know, it's but it started very differently from another horror movie.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Wolfie.
Oh no! I'm just saying he's got. Have you seen the list of movies he's got coming that he's working on this year? It's pretty thick. I mean, yeah. Waking Nightmare. One that we talked about on Sit Down was I'm got to look at the name again. Agrimon's Gate.
Yeah, and actually we do.
Hand of the Devil.
So
I love that experience. And Lauren Landon from Maniac Cop 1, 2, 3, and more. She's fantastic to work with. Holly Valen, as I talked to on the preset, there was he's another Swedish American guy. He actually got his citizenship last year, I think, after 25 years. He is one of the top filmmakers out of Michigan. He decided to stay in Michigan because he can make so much more for much less than LA. But he's getting a lot of international and domestic notoriety right now. He's won 9 awards last 2 years of two of his films. From Spain to Berlin to Germany to, you know, and 3 of his movies are going to Cannes in next month. 2 of them I'm in. Nice. Agamemnon's Gate is going to Cannes. And another movie called Artificial Loyalty that we shot last year is going to Cannes. Another movie he shot before that is going to Cannes. But Agamemnon's Gate, fantastic experience. Something I've never really played, a really evil dark demon.
That's sarcasm, right?
Yes, of course.
I'm just making sure. I'm like, does he not realize? Yeah. And
none of those guys are evil.
No, the director sent me the script and he said, read this. And then I said, who am I playing? He said, well, read it. So I've read it. And, you know, of course, I try to pick something that's not obvious. I'm thinking, you know, let's do something else. And I picked this a medium psychic kind of guy who just goes through and try to catch the demon the whole movie. I said, it's either that part or Agamemnon. And he's like, shit, I wrote Agamemnon for you. You can't, you know, why are you picking anything else? I'm like, Shit, I just tried, man. You know?
Yeah, just figured you'd give it a shot. I know Leo's been trying to break in with something.
Yeah. So the pictures that we were showing are actually production photos that Jan sent us prior to the show. So these are production photos from Agamemnon's Gate. Is that how you pronounce it? Agrimon.
We can't give Leo too much crap because everyone's having problems with it.
Yeah.
You have to just read the Old Testament.
I don't know if I'd do that, but yeah, that sounds
no.
Cool.
It's a cool movie, and like I told these guys earlier, it's already picked up by Vision, which is Sony, and it's coming out in October. So it's probably going to be one of the Halloween release, something
nice.
Like that.
Very nice.
Now is this going to be something that's going to be in theaters at all, or is this going to be?
I truly hope so. Yeah, they aiming for
should
it.
Should what?
Yeah.
They're aiming for it. Artificial Loyalty, I think that's coming out in May. I do not, they might have a limited release. It's with John Savage and myself and Billy Worth. And it's about human trafficking. Same director. That's the first film I did with him. And we had a blast on that one. So that one, I don't know for sure, but Agamemnon's, they're really pushing for it. So
nice.
I want to remind everybody who's watching, we're streaming live on two different Facebook pages, YouTube, Periscope, and Twitch. If you have questions, just post them in the comments there, and one of us will get to them. So myself, Yo-Yo, and Tony are keeping an eye on those comments. And while we're here, we're going to run a quick commercial for Deadly Grounds Coffee. So our sponsor here, absolutely love them. I just got a restock. I'm drinking Witch's Brew tonight.
Did you get the Irish cream yet?
I did. It just showed up yesterday.
So did you try it?
Not yet.
All right.
No,
I'm curious your thoughts.
I know. I made a full pot of the chocolate strawberry this morning, and then I made another pot of the Witch's Brew tonight. So tomorrow I'll do
because you're done with your job, so you can
drink
coffee all day.
Exactly.
But yeah. So Deadly Grounds, go check them out, deadlygrounds.com, and support our sponsor. They're fantastic.
Yeah, and just check the show notes if you want the link right there, and get a little deadly. Here we go, Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly. Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
There we go. Deadly Grounds Coffee. GetDeadly.com or DeadlyGroundsCoffee.com. Get Deadly.
If for people that weren't, you know, behind the scenes during that, the whole time that was playing, we were making fun of Leo. Just want to let everyone know, it doesn't stop when the cameras are off. We just make fun of him.
That's when we amp it up a little.
Yeah. Does it ever stop? It never stops.
No, I do it in my sleep. It's awesome.
That's why I dream about it. You know, those damn nightmares. Okay, we're back with Jan Birch talking about your upcoming movie, Sky Sharks.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, is there any news on Sky Sharks?
Sky Sharks, yes, it's a little bit of news on it. It's another one that I'm really looking forward to. I was just talking to the producer the other day, and I was told, they said, just have your patience, you know, have patience, because I asked for clips. I want to see the new trailer. I want some clips, and he said, you know, we just doubled the budget for the post, so they got another €2.5 million, which made me very excited, because as you guys probably remember, it's all green screen. The whole movie is green screen. It's shot on green screen, every single scene, and basically nobody's acting with each other. It's a weird concept. But it's a very millennium, and I think these guys are onto something, because everybody's, you know, whenever they have something to show, somebody else buys the territory. So, you know, and it is Sony. September 1st in Germany for sure, theatrical. I don't know exactly the dates and domestically here yet, but it's going to be a big thing.
So
be exciting. I don't know. I'm hoping they're flying us all to Germany for the premiere, to be honest.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Because, you know, it's a bunch of us, you know, it's kind of like a death house, but it's a horror comedy with tons and tons of horror actors.
Flying sharks.
Yeah.
And flying sharks. Don't forget the flying sharks.
Will they be on the plane too?
Yeah. No, hopefully not.
So for those
maybe
of you,
after you see the movie, you're definitely not going to get a plane.
Yeah.
So Jan, could you give a brief synopsis of the movie for those of?
Well, a brief synopsis of this movie is that the Nazis during the Second World War had an experiment with sharks, and they were able to make them fly, so they froze them down in the Arctic. After, you know, they lost the war, whatever, you know, long story short, they've frozen. Now, present time, they're actually waking up because global warming, these sharks are coming alive. And with the sharks are coming all the German officers that used to ride them and train them. And then all of a sudden, we have thousands of German Nazi zombies on flying sharks. And they want to take over the world. They programmed to take over the world. 1944, whatever, and they just go back and do it now. And It's I'm playing an English MI5 agent. Tony Todd is an American general. It goes and they have this other guy. You know, they have a Japanese. But that's why we're all from different countries, so they shut it all on green screen and you just cut us in. We have interviews, we have meetings, but we're all in different places all the time.
That's awesome.
Now, Amanda Burse is a commentator, news reporter, and Naomi Grossman is another news reporter. I think one is Amanda's English and Naomi is U.S. or vice versa. I mean, they put them all in like that. So it's news reporters and head of state, generals, MI5 agents, spies. Like, how are we going to stop this, basically? And
love to see just like the special features on like physical release of that, just to see how that's done. Like, the amount of work that's going into the editing of this is going to be ridiculous.
Oh no, I mean, I've been asking them for clips for a while, and they just like, they said it took us 3 months to put the first trailer together. So just hang on, have some patience. You know, they really want to do it right. I know that.
And I remember I actually talked to Tony about it for a second at a con, and he's just like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, no, it looks awesome. Like that one little clip, he was just like, I don't know what it is, but I'm like, no, this is going to be cool. It's going to be cool.
Oh, yeah. And they went to New York. They went to New York and shot a lot of exterior as well, which I don't know if it was planned originally, but they were here last year. In the U.S. and shot a lot of exteriors that I can use together with a green screen to get all authenticity and, you know, sharks flying into skyscrapers and stuff. I think this is going to be a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah. that's the thing, is even like if they do it really well, it's going to be amazing. And if they don't do it, like if they do it all right, it's still going to be amazing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You look at things like Sharknado, and they're not done great. But they're still really fun. And like, it's one of those movies that you can watch over and over again because they're so ridiculous. They're just over the top. And that's cool. I'm excited.
I agree. And the guys were amazing. I mean, one thing I really like, and I don't think it's hard to do it over here or the mentality in the US, but these guys just like had one goal, is make this movie. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what we have to do. You know, we're going to do it the way we want to do it, and nobody's going to tell us differently. So, they've been doing this now. I think they started 2014 or something.
Wow.
And they just want to do it right. So
that's awesome.
I mean, knowing that none of the actors have spent any time together with one another, this is going to be crazy to watch, just to see how they interact with one another. Now that I know that they didn't interact with one another, it's like, is it going to look right? And I'll be able to sit there and go, wow, they're actually having they're conversing, but it looks natural, you know?
Yeah, so, that's what I'm interested in seeing too.
Oh yeah. So like in your scenes, was there someone like reading lines like opposite of you, but not?
Yeah. Yeah. Filmed? No, the director did. I mean, but I was on the phone with Tony. I was on the phone with Amanda Bears. I was on and I was talking to my wife having tea, but my wife wasn't really there, you know. And like I told these guys on a pre-interview, I was in the same place the whole time I was shooting, right? But they told me what it looked like. So they say, okay, now you're in the library. I'm like, oh, okay. So they put, my library clothes on, whatever. So I was in the library and I was reading a book, and I'm like, I'm reading a book. They said, yeah, it's not there, but you're reading it. So I'm like, okay, I'm reading a book.
Even the book wasn't there.
The book wasn't there. He didn't.
Yeah, and then I'm even on the poster they made for the movie. I'm reading their book Julius Caesar, but it looks completely natural on the poster. And I was not holding. I was holding air at the time.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this book, and I'm like, shit, they can do that on moving screen. It's gonna look really cool.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Like, you would think that they would at least have you holding a real book. But the fact
I think they want to have the opportunity to, what if they change their mind about the book? So they want to just switch it out. So they just made it digitally.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now, that picture of you holding the book, and it legit looks like you're holding a book.
Yeah, yeah. That was that shot was taken in the middle of shooting. So that was while we were filming green screen, there's still photographer who took that shot, which means obviously it didn't look at all like this. So they had to do the green. They had to put all this stuff into the digital picture after he shot it. Same as they're going to do with the movie.
Yeah. This is going to be a fun one. So yeah, definitely. When you hear more things, hopefully you'll post it on social media and stuff.
Definitely.
Cool.
Jan was also saying that.
Yeah, are you looking at it too, Yo-Yo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
that is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, did they tell you what book they were going to put in there? Like, you could be like laughing at one point, and it could be the most serious book ever or something.
No. The director said, "I think I'm going to put the book of Julius Caesar in your arms in one picture." I didn't know it was going to be a poster or anything, but he's like, you know, that's going to be one shot because you know you're planning a strike against the enemy and you're going back to the roots, you know.
But then they could put in like how to infiltrate whatever for dummies or something like that. You're sitting there very.
They could.
Costello got a group back.
If it turns out to be a little more comedic, they might do something like that.
Highlights for kids. I don't know. Just no, that's impressive. So yeah, I mean, even just that part of it, like the fact that knowing that about it, it's gonna make it.
I mean, look at the background on that poster. Nothing's there when I'm standing in front of a green screen. You know,
and even the background is interesting. There's like, you know, Big Ben, and then there's like a tank and all this other stuff, but you're just like holding a book. Like, this was my plan the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry. I'm still at awe of the picture. Because, like, even the shadow details on the book.
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
Like, the slightest detail. Yeah. But they put that much detail into the movie. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah. And then, like I told Wolfman earlier, they've actually made another thing they made that you can find on social media if you follow Sky Sharks. They made a postcard of all the main actors, like postcard size of the posters of what you just saw mine. Like every single actor has one of their own. And that's how they promote it. They promote, everybody has their own poster and postcard, every single character.
Wow. I'm going through looking at the pictures and there's like pictures from behind, like behind the scenes and stuff. I'm assuming it's one of the directors and he's just surrounded by all these people covered in blood and he's just laughing. I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. So yeah, this is gonna be a fun one. I think one of us interrupted Wolfie a while ago. So Wolfie, did you have something?
Oh well, what I was gonna say is, Jan was also saying in sit down that even though he's in that room, that green room with the chair, with just like there's a chair there. He's like, oh, now all of a sudden they'll go, okay, you're no longer in the library. You're now in the front. What was the other thing, Jan?
I was in one time. I was in a dining room having tea with my wife. I'm like, okay, where's my wife? She's right there. I'm like, okay.
So it's a computer generated wife as well, or is it someone else playing the wife?
No, it was no. They just put a chair there as a reference. So I was pretending, you know. But they showed me a picture of who's going to be. She was a pretty woman. I was happy, you know. I was happy to be her husband, but she wasn't there at the moment.
That's cool.
See, that's the thing that gets me. That's what's getting me charged about this is the fact that he's gonna have tea with his wife, but she's not there, and they're gonna overlay these images. And is it gonna look? I'm just super charged about that.
Well, the thing is too is it's like they're putting all this work and effort into it, and if it's almost like if they do it too well, that people can't tell. It's like, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be something where it shows like in the scenes, like behind the scenes, how it was done. Or even like during the credits, because if it's done so well, people aren't going to realize that much work went into it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's true.
True.
I don't know.
I think that if they do that, they should save it to like post, like after the credits.
Yeah.
Or during the credits. Like, you didn't notice.
No one was even.
So someone's wearing like a green shirt, you know, accidentally.
It's Jan asking for like an extra cube of sugar in his tea, and it's just like a guy in a green screen costume, just like blip. So yeah, that's gonna be awesome. So yeah, we talked about Waking Nightmare a bit. What's Mr. Blue Shirt? The inspiration.
Mr. Blue Shirt, the inspiration is a fantasy, adventure, horror, medieval thing. It's a crazy thing. It's like that. Hitchhiker's Guide to Galaxy kind of movie.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. There's Mike Stewart approached me actually in New Jersey Horror Con about he's directing the film and he said, you know, Robert Mukes is in it, and all kinds of people I knew was in it. So I'm like, all right. So I said, I'm interested. So he sent me a script. And the week after the con, actually, I went over to Pennsylvania and we shot. And I played one of the four horsemen, Pestilence. And
Okay.
Yeah. But there was four of us. You know, we're evil motherfuckers. We're four of us. And I guess, I don't know exactly, that's also a lot of effects, because when we shot it, I just stood on the ground, I sat on a horse, I stepped down from a horse, I pointed swords at people. But in the actual script, there's like stuff flying, you know, lightning flying from my sword, and I'm flying in on my horse. I'm supposed to come through the clouds and all that. So I don't know exactly how that's going to look. I don't know what it's going to look like until it's done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, besides Robert Mukes, you have Genevieve Rossi's in there, Lloyd Kaufman, Michael Berryman, so...
Yeah, no, we had fun. Wow. It's another one of those. It's a former horror hardcore fan that's not making movies.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, and those are usually the best, too, because they kind of throw in their own... a little bit of everything from every movie that they probably watched when they were younger and kind of put it together and make a movie that they want to see, as opposed to, you know these... bigger budget companies just throwing out a movie to throw it out.
True. Very true. So. No, we had fun. We had a lot of fun. It was all outside for me. I shot with Genevieve, and we had a good time there. And I'm looking forward to it. I played quite a strong, very strong character. I think that they're going to put a relay in my voice, even like thunder and lightning kind of voice.
Oh, nice. So. We've had Genevieve on a bunch. Like, I think, I don't know if she's still up there as like the one who's been on the show the most. We've had a few other people, but
it's got to be close to her and Jessica. And Jessica are pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. Genevieve is good people. We like her a lot.
Yeah, no, she is for sure.
And
that sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Any idea when that may be, getting completed?
He told me he will have a lock on my birthday, so it should be coming close to end of post, hopefully, because that was a few days ago. Nice. So we'll see. I'll reach out soon, see what's going on with it. And then Don't Let Them In is also finally, I think, kickstarting with Kevin Tenney, and I think they have Scout Taylor Compton as well now.
I actually just met her this past weekend at Chiller in New Jersey.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, she's a good friend of mine. She's a great gal.
Very nice person.
We're going to do that one possibly together, and we're doing another one together that I can't talk about today, but next time please ask me about it, because it's I'm looking very, very forward to this one. You can't see it on IMDb yet. It's studio, and the name of the movie is my character, so I'm excited about it.
So that's big.
That could be anything.
That could be anything. They named the movie the
Death.
Now,
And Scout's in that one as well, as far as I know so far. They're still negotiating.
Now, forgive me if you guys brought this up, because I was doing a bunch of stuff in the back here. Terror Tales. Did you guys talk about that yet?
Oh, that's another one. Oh, shit, man. I know so much now.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this year.
He just signed a distribution deal as well. I heard Jimmy Lee Combs. He just posted it. And he texted me saying, we got a great deal. I'm hoping for the biggest release we can get. So that should be coming on, too, in the next month or two.
Yeah, because I believe, because Lynn Lowry's in it, I believe we brought it up when she was on recently.
Yeah, Lynn Lowry's on it. And Lauren Landon, that I just did, Agamemnon's Gate, she's also in it.
Nice.
Yeah, Felicia's in it. Yep. There's a bunch of people on it.
Yeah, Felicia's in it. I had a blast on that one. I don't know. Did you ever get pictures from that one last time I was on? Because I'm playing Satan in that one, and I have a normal look, and I have a look with horns in the movie. I actually had a horn wrangler for the first time in my entire life. I never had a horn wrangler in my life on a set. I had a person, a very nice young lady. Her only job was to hold my horns up because they were so heavy.
Wow.
Yeah, so she walked behind me all day, all day long. That was funny. Hey, I forgot she was there.
Oh,
I turned around. She has to like follow with her horns.
That's funny.
That's like the
so they must have been like giant, like big giant, like legend kind of horns, or
no? They went down. They went down here, but they went all the way down to the ground, basically.
Wow!
Big badass horns. Yeah,
that's awesome. I can imagine.
I mean, it was still, you know, not horns, but they were heavy. Whatever they were made of, they were quite heavy for my head.
Yeah. Sorry, Wolfie, you were saying something.
Well, I was going to ask him about can you talk about the Kevin Tenney film at all?
Don't Let Him In? Yeah. It's a great script. It's based on a novel by Elizabeth Fields. Yeah, she wrote a novel. It's 6 short stories. So it's kind of like Terror Tales, a little bit similar, but this is 6 stories in it. But the main wraparound is a group of people sitting around a campfire talking ghost stories, and every ghost story is played out as a feature film, basically like 6 mini features. It's really okay. Cool because it's not only like as soon as they start talking about it, you go into seeing an actual movie almost, like 6 short films. And well, I'm the last one to talk, and I'm not who I'm pretend to be. I can say that much.
Okay, no,
I don't think I can give you the actual. My actions,
because don't
that would be the whole plot line, but
and we want to be able
everybody
to...
has a story, no, that... and I have a story too, and just wait and see it.
Anthology films are coming. I mean, there's more now than I've seen in a long time, because back in the 80s all you had was pretty much was like Creepshow and stuff. Now you have, I mean, Trick or Treat is more Halloween and Tales of Halloween and stuff, but a lot of anthology films are coming up, and I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because,
there's some out there that aren't, like, always fantastic, but I think I'm seeing more that are really good. Like,
but the thing is with anthology films, too, is one of those things where you might not like every single one of the stories, but you might like 2 or 3, and it's not going to ruin the whole, because sometimes you'll watch a movie and it's like, I really didn't like it. But these anthologies, it's short films, and, you know, then a lot of them get spinoffs. They get enough, you know, recognition that they're like, okay, we can take this and we can make a whole movie out of it.
For sure. It's a bunch of, it's a bunch of mini features. I see it. I enjoy it too very much, because you, if you don't love one of them, you're going to love at least a couple of them. So it's right, like the movie overall is going to be a great movie. And if you love all of them, it's a home
run. Even better.
Yeah.
But I have noticed, I mean, like Tony said, we're seeing kind of like an uptick in that, I think. As far as like with lower budget stuff too, because they're able to get like maybe a bunch of different like independent directors involved. They're doing
Also another thing they do, obviously, you realize every actor doesn't have to be on too long. So they can get more done for less money.
Yeah.
We all come in for a few days or a week instead of 4 weeks, so it's, and then they can get bigger actors, more of us in the same movie, because, we're not staying on the whole time. So it's a win-win for all aspects, I think, both audience and filmmakers. Yeah.
I agree. That's some of my favorite, like, Tales of Halloween is like one of my
Tales of Halloween.
Yeah, favorite from the last couple of years. Like just in general, I love that movie.
ABC's of Death, the VHS movies. I mean, they're popping everywhere you turn. There's more, which I'm not complaining whatsoever, because each one gets more interesting. Holidays where they made each short a different holiday.
Yeah.
So.
So do you have anything else in the works? Like any, I know you've done a little TV here and there. Is there any TV projects coming up?
I have my own project that we talked about years ago that I put it a little bit on hold now, but I definitely want to pursue that. I'm just right now, I've been so busy with these movies, and I'm excited. I'm a feature guy. So I like when I'm busy like this, and now I'm just anticipating them coming out and getting busier. But I don't mind TV at all, not anymore. I mean, it used to be you have to choose, but now you can do everything. Everybody does everything now.
So. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Leo.
No, Brandon Michael Essert says, hello, Jan, and he mentioned Lights Out and short movies is where it's at.
Yep. I agree.
And
I just did a really cool short movie, but it's a horror comedy called Investors. Look that up online. It's about how desperate people are, how far people will go to get a script financed in Hollywood. And I play the executive financier. And check it out. The Investors. It won all kinds of festival awards. But it was
Are you able to watch it online, or is it?
Oh yeah, YouTube. Okay. You could probably go on IMDb and even watch at least a trailer. But you should be able to get the whole movie somewhere online on YouTube. Somewhere.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Horror comedy is definitely up my alley.
That's my
style.
It's a fun movie, making fun of people who like to make movies. Basically, yeah.
you're talking about how you did TV. Oh, well, you know, I brought up TV a little bit. One of your co-stars from People Under the Stairs, I was hoping he was going to return. There was a show that he was on. It was Sean Whalen I'm talking about. He was on Superstore, and he killed his character off finally.
Yeah, no, Sean liked to be on that.
And
Sean and I have a great relationship. It's like you were talking with Leo earlier that you always give him shit, but I mean, that's me and Sean are just every word is like, we kind of abuse each other in a very funny way.
That's what guys do. That's what guys do.
You know, we have a blast. It's like, it's my first movie family. All of those, Brandon and Sean and Kelly Joe now, last couple of years joining us. You know, we always have the best time. It's amazing. Yeah.
And it's a movie that
have you ever done one of those?
Which one? Someone
go ahead, Wolfie.
Okay, well, I was going to say, have you ever done one of those karaoke breakouts with Sean at the convention?
No, I have not. No, I have not. He has a karaoke party on his birthday every year. But
does he?
I try to show up early and leave late and stand in background.
Yeah. We got some decent video of him doing that at Scarecon last year.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did when we were there, too, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I think other people wanted to jump on the bandwagon because Sid Haig got up and did karaoke as well.
Of course.
Which was very interesting. I was like, oh, that's okay. Because, you know, he was singing like old like blues songs and stuff. It was really cool. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, everyone's not going to jump in and sing along with it because no one knows what you're singing.
Yeah.
But it was still really
that's
cool.
That's because
Sean's
doing, you know, he's doing a song that invites all the people to sing along, which was Shout.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. Well, also,
guys, I'm sorry. You're going to excuse me for 30 seconds.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Okay. Tell you what we'll do is we'll run the Deadly Grounds commercial. So here we go. Deadly Grounds. If you don't know who they are, it's they're our sponsor. We absolutely love their coffee. I'm, you know, it's what, almost 10 o'clock at night? What do you got there, Kevin?
Hold on. I got my Deadly Grounds sticker on my mug.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, is that what comes with it? Is it a sticker? I didn't know this was a sticker.
It's a sticker. What'd you think it was? A really thin coaster?
I thought it was a coaster.
a coaster that
comes just roll the ad.
Just roll the goddamn
so we can make fun of you.
Jesus, tap me.
Here we go. Deadly Grounds coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly. Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
I have a whole roll of coasters right here.
Okay, Tony, you were saying something previous.
Well, you brought up People Under the Stairs, and I'm in a lot of on Facebook. There's a lot of groups and stuff, and it's amazing. I mean, there's two amazing parts out of it. One, there's a lot of people that might not have seen People Under the Stairs yet. Because they keep on bringing it up, they have like a picture. They're like, "Oh, what's this movie from?" But it's amazing how it's still reaching people now from, you know, all over the place. I saw that was one of my first movies I watched when I was young, and it did scare the shit out of me. But it was one of those things where it's you know, a movie that spans so far in, you know, into, we're 2018 now and people are still talking about it. I mean, it's one of those, the concept of it is, you know, I don't want to say crazy because I guess it could happen, but it's one of those concepts where it's like, it's different than most. Like, I don't, there's not a movie I can sit and be like, you know, okay, it reminds me of this movie. So I think that that also helps it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if I told you this guy this last time to you guys, or if you heard on the, on one of our Q&As on the con, but, you know, in those days, or all the way up until Scream, Wes Craven dreamed all his scripts. Okay. He did not write any. Yeah. He had ideas. He came up with inspiration, but he didn't actually write anything until he dreamed it through. So he basically programmed his brain with, you know, and then all of a sudden he dreamed something and he woke up in the middle of the night and he wrote the script. In the late 70s, it was a sister and a brother in Santa Monica, California, 2 minutes from my house here, that kidnapped babies and to try to make the perfect baby. I don't think the cannibalism was happening. You know, obviously there was a there was an added thing for the movie, but the actual kidnapping of a or try to create a perfect baby of a sister and a brother slumlords are true. So he read the news, he read it, and he said 20 years later, almost like 15, 20 years later, he finally dreamed the through line because he couldn't really figure out how to make the movie before that and what is, you know, what was going to be about and how he's going to express himself to make a good movie out of it. And then one night he dreamed it, woke up at 3 a.m. and wrote the blueprint of People Under the Stairs.
That's yeah, awesome. The same thing kind of happened with him with Nightmare on Elm Street. He read the story about the Laotians from Laos that were living in America that were dying in their sleep, you know. They're having dreams and they were wound up just dying that way. And that kind of inspired the whole Nightmare on Elm Street thing. But he, like I said, he didn't write that script for like 2 or 3 years. And it went around Hollywood for like 3 years before New Line picked it up.
Yeah. No, it did. It did.
Sorry, I had to mute my microphone. My dog was howling. Sorry.
Wes was one of the few, I have to say. I miss him very much.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that story, so that's very interesting. I mean, I'll have to. We're going to be talking with Sean at a con coming up in the next couple months, and I know we're going to be talking a lot about People Under the Stairs and stuff. So I'll have to bring that up because that's a very interesting story.
Yeah.
You can bring it up to Sean for sure.
And awesome. Also, I asked Jan about possibly doing some sort of like special video prior to the convention to see if we can maybe show it at the con. During the panel. So we'll try to get Sean in on that. See if we can maybe record something. Maybe get some, behind the scenes talk about People Under Stairs and, upcoming projects and stuff. We are coming up on the 10 o'clock hour. So if you have any last minute questions for Jan, post them in the comments. But more importantly, check out the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us. You're going to find all the links to follow Jan, janbirch.com. He's also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Got all the links right there. He has a ton of projects coming out. If you missed some of the show, Death House, Dawn of Five Evils, Terror Tales, The Investors, Artificial Loyalty, Sky Sharks in the fall, Mr. Blue Shirt, The Inspiration, Agrimon's Gate, Don't Let Them In, Dinerilla, Dawn, I already said Dawn of Five Evils. And also there's another one that he can't mention. Ton of projects coming on. Did I miss anything?
And I want to get all of them to add to my collection.
Yeah.
I have another thing in the fall in Sweden. The first time I'm going to shoot in Sweden in many, 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 many years. Called The Door in Between with Paul Weston directing, an English director. It's a supernatural horror film. In an old mansion in Sweden.
Nice.
It's a really good script.
Cool. Yeah, we're always excited to see people that we love and some really cool projects. Like I'm super excited for Sky Sharks. I'm gonna be honest. Like I'm excited about all of them, but I'm really like, even from the last time we talked to you about it, I'm just like, when's this coming out?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited about that. But Now, I know you're very busy with movies and everything right now, but do you have anything planned? I know like our con season is kind of starting soon. Do you have anything planned this year as far as like going to any car conventions where fans can meet?
Not too much. Me, myself and Brandon and Sean, and we decided to slow down a little bit this year because we have so much stuff coming out, and I love to meet fans. I mean, we enjoy, I love cons, but at the same time, I also want to, I like when you wait a little bit once in a while.
Yeah.
And then you get, you know, new faces and the old faces all together. And it's not just like you're going every other weekend for, you know, for a whole year. We did that for a year or two, and we just want to do a little less this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really, if they come to me specifically and you know, offer me a really good deal, that's what, when we go, but we're not really seeking them out this year though.
Okay. That's good. I mean, I agree. Like we do a lot of cons and we see a lot of the same guests at a lot of the cons, but you know, we're also at way more cons than most like average people go to. So
I love cons. I would love to go every weekend if I could, but it's also good to step back once in a while as well. Yeah. I learned through the years, you know,
from our standpoint though, it's, I would like to not do as many cons sometimes because we just go broke because we just buy everything. Autographs, coffee. We buy coffee. We buy a ton of, you know. It's
they're at a horror convention. They're buying coffee.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you save on shipping, I mean, and, you know, it's...
you save on shipping. That's your only excuse. Well, yeah, that's why I spent $100 on coffee. You save on shipping.
Well, also, he's right
that's
there.
$5.
You know? You know, it's you get to, you know, watch everybody enjoying the coffee, the free samples that he has. Plus also,
plus all the guests at the convention. Like you get to enjoy meeting people that you grew up getting terrified by.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, you're actually pretty awesome. So that's cool. You're not. I had nightmares about you forever. Like I've told Tony Todd the story like a billion times. Like whenever like I am going through a change in life, whether it be a job or whatever, I have nightmares about Candyman. Or because of Candyman, I have nightmares of people shooting bees out of their mouth. So it's, you know, these meeting these people means something to me. It's like you affected my life, you know, even though it's just a little part that you played, you know, whatever, it affects me. But anyways, so that's what I mean. Hopefully one of these days we'll be able to meet you in person. That's all I'm getting at. I was hoping you're going to be at a convention in our area so I could actually shake your hand.
I'll let you know for sure.
All right,
you know, one of you guys know when we have a couple of things we might go to, but I mean, okay. We did so much last year with both Liverpool and Germany and all that, so we it was a lot, so we're stepping back a little bit this year.
Yeah, well, one day I'll be able to be like,
yeah, for sure,
it's a pleasure, sir. Sky Sharks, when is it coming out? No, but anyways,
so Kev, what would happen if you met the clown from Poltergeist?
I'd be like, you're a doll. That's
well, it's also one of the things that scared you as a kid. So
yeah, it still does. But whatever, it is what it is. It holds up.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, we should probably wrap it because I'm just rambling. I do apologize.
So, Jan, where do you like people following you the most on social media?
What I like to follow Instagram and Twitter. I mean, on my fan page too. I like my fan page. It was good because I post all the stuff and behind the scenes photos and all that. I try to spread myself around a little bit as much as I can.
Sounds good. And yo.
Boy Meets Phone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're doing your social media, should probably be somewhere there. Also, Yo Saint Laurent on those same social media channels, and of course here on the Dorkening.
Tony.
You can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews, on Twitter, on Horrormino, and on the Stardust app. You can find me on Instagram, where I show off the movies behind me, and you can find me here on The Dorkening.
Wolf B.
Just one thing. Two things I'm really excited about with Jan. I want to see Sky Sharks, and I'm also very charged about Agrimon's Gate. That just sounds awesome. And if you want to, you could follow me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday in The Dork, every Tuesday in Wicked Horror Show, doing the horror one with Kev. When we're done that, we're doing the Wicked Horror Reviews. And yeah, check out Jan's stuff, man. He's awesome. Kev?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You can find me, A Knuckle, on Twitter, Instagram, every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, doing stuff with Wolfie and Leo. not doing Leo. I'm sorry. That's kind of weird. Leo, where can we find you?
Well, just Google Leo Pond. You'll find a bunch of stuff about me. But more importantly, head on over to thedorkening.com where you'll find all the information about our shows, both audio and video. If you miss the live shows every week, we do put these on audio format every Thursday for the Wicked Horror Show. The rest of the shows you can find Sunday morning. We do a live show, The Dorkening, at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Wicked Horror Show is live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. And the Ultimate Video Game Show is live every Thursday. Not every Thursday, almost every Thursday at 9 p.m. We're going to be talking with the people from Celestial Pod this week. It's a game where you're a space squid. It's they just sent me a demo. I'm going to be trying it out tomorrow. And also letting everybody know there's going to be no shows next week since it is going to be my 4-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
You survived.
And four?
More importantly, she survived. So.
That's true. Congratulations.
And for that 4-year anniversary, please send Leo stickers with the word coaster on them.
And I'm, yeah, exactly. And I'm sorry, it's 3 years, not 4 years.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness! He just messed up his announcement. It's actually only 3 years.
I know. It's been a long day. It was also the last day of my job.
Good thing is your wife doesn't watch this show, so that's fantastic.
It's been 4 years at my job. I just left, so it's all right. That's where I got.
It's been 3 years, but it feels like 4 is what he's really saying.
Yeah. Okay. Continue to shoot each other in the foot. Let's have a good night, everyone. Yes.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Man.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.